Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 1. This morning I want to share a little bit on love is of God. During our weekend I taught on the central truth of the ages, which is revealed really in 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. So why don't we take a look at that verse. And it tells us, get over there. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And I shared with the beloved ones that the word message is a final decree, like after you've heard all the testimony, you've had the opportunity to examine the evidence, like his gift of Holy Spirit. You've seen signs, miracles, and wonders. You've seen healing and deliverance. You've seen the word grow and prevail. You've even evidenced the word grow and prevail in your own life. The word growing and prevailing, and the proof of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that everlasting life, of course, is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Remember, the original lie was, ye shall not surely die, but God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And the truth is that we do die, but God has, even through Jesus Christ, had victory over death. He conquered death. It tells us, because of the fear of death, men were in a lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2:15. All their lives they had been in bondage because of their fear of death. This message, this decree, is God is light and in him is no darkness at all. From the beginning, he has always been light. Now, in this epistle of 1 John, there's a secondary message that covers all ages. And this message does not come from the terms of philosophy or some high religious dogma, but it's actually, the word message has its origin in the public voice, what people say, going all the way back to the beginning. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. It says in verse 11, which is where we'll start today, so to speak, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. This word message is a different word than the one in 1 John 1:5. This one means the public voice. This is what people have been saying from the beginning. We ought to love one another. We ought to be kind to one another. You know, we ought to have that love for one another. We ought to have unconditional love. And it's still the public voice today. We ought to love one another. There's hardly a place that you go within a country or within a community where the people are talking about, we ought to love one another. Of course, we get caught up in our diversity, which comes from the word division, and we don't ever arrive there. But we all agree, every society, that we ought to love our fellow man. But the results still wind up the same. Let's read verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. It's still basically the same thing today. we all want to love our fellow man. We all agree that everybody ought to love everybody, and everybody ought to be kind to everybody, and everybody ought to get along real well. But it doesn't happen, and it hasn't happened since since Cain, who were the first offspring of man. That's been said, but it's never been done. You know, what's been said is we ought to love one another. We ought to get along with one another. It's been said from the very beginning, but we have never gotten to the place where we have been able to do that. Certainly not with phileo love, which is brotherly love, a love that goes from man to man, human to human. It hasn't happened. There are four different kinds of love that are mentioned in the Bible. The first one is the phileo love, a love from man to man, human to human. Then there's also eros love, which is an erotic love. It's kind of what Taylor Swift calls mad love. That turned into bad blood, I guess. But that's an erotic love. And there's the word sturgeon, which comes from the word storge, which is actually where we get the word stork. But it's more of a familial love. But even that doesn't work, because wasn't Cain and Abel brothers? Mm-hmm. It didn't even work there. None of these different kinds of love have been able to get man to the place where he could do what the public voice has cried out for since the beginning, that we love one another. It's only this love, the agape love, which is God's love, and it's unconditional, that has been given to man, that we will ever be able to accomplish what that voice has cried out for from the beginning. You know, look at all the people who had that mad love. You know, they were crazy about each other and all that. And then, as wonderful as phileo is, it's not unconditional. And men and women always find a condition which that love does not survive. For one condition or another, it may be different for different people, but for it comes to the place that love, that phileo love, doesn't survive. We call the city of Philadelphia phileo, the city of brotherly love, and we look at some of the actions there and we don't see it. But there's always conditions where we find that we can call it quits. And we're disappointed and we're hurt. But this agape love is not from human origin. Agape is separate from emotion. Its basis and foundation is not in emotion like all these other loves tend to be, but it's based on truth and light. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is quick and powerful, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the thoughts and intentions of the heart." We start out with very good intentions, I believe. Mm-hmm. But those good intentions don't get us there. They're not strong enough. They're not equipped to bring us there. All of those things are unconditional, are not unconditional, but the love of God is. It, because it is not based on response, but it can cause a very positive response. And that's the love we need to spread. Verse 13, it says, verse 13, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." This love can even dominate in hostile situations. While we're here in this world, we may be hated by the world, but this love can dominate and this love can prevail. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love, agape, one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what?
Love.
Love. God is love. As I say, love is not just something that God does. It is what he is. It is his very essence. It is his very heart. It is the very part of his being. And he has lovingly transferred that to us in the new birth with his gift of Holy Spirit. We have received of his Spirit, God in Christ in us. We have received of his Spirit, and it contains that same nature, and we may be partakers of that very, very same nature. Verse 9. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Here is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. That is a payment in full on behalf of another. Jesus Christ is the other. He paid in full on our behalf, to take care of both the root and the fruit of not being loving. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And we now have the means, because he has given to us of his Spirit. God is Spirit, and he's given to us his Spirit. Therefore, we have his very nature, and we can live the love of God, which is his nature. It's not just something he does, it is what he is. Therefore, it's going to be the very part of us, what we are. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us, or is made mature. Hereby we know, or hereby know we, that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given unto us his
Spirit.
And that love is part of that spiritual nature of God. And if we have Spirit within us, and that Spirit is now our Spirit, then we have that same spiritual nature as God. The message of the public voice has been answered by God Almighty through Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not
perish.
Don't have to be in bondage, in the fear, in bondage for a lifetime, because he has given to us that eternal life, which was in Jesus Christ. You know, people say they find fault in me. Everyone has weaknesses and imperfections, but can your unconditional love cover my blemishes and my imperfections?
Yes.
It's unconditional. And we ought to love one another like the Word has asked us to. And no man hath seen God at any time, verse 12. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is made mature in us. Wouldn't it be lovely to find Christians conducting themselves in a Christian way, when the supply of that perfect love is so abundant? We ought to share it with the world. And verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his spirit. And we have absolute proof. Every time we speak in tongues, we have absolute proof that his love dwells in us and we can dwell in him. We have the proof. This spirit in us gives us the innate power and ability to participate in a beloved of God ministry right where we live, in our homes and families, at our fellowships, and among our community. Don't be afraid the world might change you. Walk in that love and you may change that world. You may change that community. You may even change what's happening at home if we allow the love of God to dwell within us by putting on the Word of God. As good as our intentions may be, our own love and friendliness will never be sufficient, nor will it carry the power to heal a wounded society, nor free the prisoners taken captive in spiritual battles. But what cannot be done with the cleverest of argumentation, the most forceful of preaching, will be accomplished by a simple walk in love in the love life of a believing one. We have his spirit inside us. The love of God in Christ Jesus is a very part of us. It's part of our being. It's part of our lives. And we can make a difference in this world, and we can accomplish that which the world has been crying out since the beginning. Before we close, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, that great record of the love of God. And I want to read this to you. I'd like to read it together with you, at least a portion of it, so we can take a look at what this agape love of God is. And starting in verse 4, charity, which has been termed the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation, or simply put from Romans 12, 2, the transformation, the butterfly of love, so to speak. This is what we are to transform ourselves to. You know, when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, it never goes back to being a caterpillar. We should allow ourselves to be transformed by putting on the Word in our minds and walking out with his spirit in us that is now our spirit and manifest it. And this record here, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity, this love of God, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endures all things. Charity never fails, and it will not fail us. This list, or these things that I have read you, are not a laundry list of behavioral modification, but is the very nature of the gift we received that is now our spirit. The French translation, it says in verse 8, charity never fails. The Louis Segond translation, the French translation, is the love, love, charity is eternal. It lasts and endures forever. It will always be that way. That's why it will never fail us. It will always be to us, it will always be in us, and it will never fail us. Will we have challenges in life? Of course we will, as long as we are on this earth. Will we have troubles and things to concern us while we're in this life? Yes, as long as we're in this world. But this love is eternal and will always be there. That's why it will never fail. It has no end. You've already received the gift of eternal life, Spirit, and it is a part of you. God is love, and He is in you. You have the same nature. Simply walk in it. You have eternal, we have an eternal love life, and that's the love life of a believing one. Bless your hearts.